Chapter 8. The Storm. After leaving the carriage, I stood as if planted to the ground. I heard Solange call me, but I dared not go to her. Her face, wet with tears, and her wild manner were bound to attract attention. Deeply upset, I returned home. I passed the day writing to Solange. In the evening, I sent her an entire book of love promises. My letter had hardly gone to the post when I received one from her. At the school, Solange had been sharply told off for coming late and even threatened with the loss of her next holiday. Yet she promised to join me even at the cost of her job. I thought I should go mad at the thought of being away from her a whole week. I visited Solange's empty rooms to see if that would bring me some peace. It did not. There, I found a letter from her father, which appeared to have been opened. I then returned home and passed a terrible night with little sleep. The next day, the weather was horrible. A cold wind began to blow that morning with the promise of rain. All the way to the laboratory, my ears were abused by the criers announcing the names of the convicted, a large number of men, women, and children. The bloody harvest was rich. I knew that I should not lack subjects for my investigations that day. At 4 o'clock, I arrived at Clamart. The view of the burial grounds, with its large newly made graves and its few bare trees moving in the wind, was desolate and depressing. A large open hole was before me, waiting to receive today's bodies from the Place de la Révolution. I could see that a large number of victims were expected, for the hole was deeper than usual. I approached the hole. At the bottom, rainwater had gathered in a pool. My feet slipped. I came within an inch of falling in. My hair stood on end. I shuddered and hurried into the laboratory. The laboratory, as I have said, was a chapel. My eyes searched. I know not why. Perhaps I wished to discover if some traces of the building's past purpose remained, but the walls were bare. I struck a light and placed it on the operating table, on which lay all of the instruments I employed. I sat down and fell into a reverie. I thought of the poor queen, whom I had seen in her glory and happiness. Yesterday she had been carted to the scaffold, followed by the curses of her people. Today she was lying without a head, she who had slept beneath the gold shade of the throne of the Tuileries and St. Cloud. As I sat, the wind and rain grew in fury. The rain rushed against the window. The storm swept sadness through the branches of the trees. Then, mixed with the violence of the elements, came the sound of wheels. It was the executioner's red hearse with its awful load from the Place de la Révolution.